Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts are also available there. You may also catch us on the WDIY app. Today is August 10th, 2022. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 33,309, the NASDAQ at 12,854, and the S&P at 4,210. Tonight, I'm talking about Social Security options. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Siri is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Siri, and he will write it down and bring it into the studio. If you have questions that you're not comfortable asking on air, you can also send those through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. Tonight we are talking about Social Security options. And I'm going to start by first talking about qualifying for Social Security, because there are claiming strategies, is how we like to refer to it. When someone becomes eligible for Social Security, what claiming options might you use? But I think we have to first understand if we qualify and what we qualify for in the way of benefits from Social Security. So kind of in general, let's think of it like this. You qualify for Social Security by working. You have earned income, pay into the system. So that's working record. You may also qualify for benefits as a spouse on your working spouse's record. You may qualify for Social Security if you are divorced and your divorced spouse qualified through working. You may qualify for Social Security as a survivor if you are disabled. If you have needs-based, which isn't exactly Social Security, I'll touch on that later in the show. And then kind of understand what the claiming options are within those categories. I also like to make sure that everyone understands, and probably just makes sense, logical sense, that if you do apply early for benefits, you do have a reduced benefit then. So sometimes people will look at their earnings record and the benefit that is estimated for them, and they may not realize that if they file early, they could have a reduced benefit, or if they stop working sooner than what the projection shows for Social Security. You can find out what your benefit is by going on Social Security's website, basically ssa.gov, that's Social Security Administration.gov for government, ssa.gov. You can set up an account directly with Social Security and see your actual benefit. You can get a copy of your actual statement through that website. Now, you do have to jump through some hoops to get that set up. They're going to ask you some security questions. So get that set up, and then you'll be able to see what your earnings record is. So just again, a reminder, if you do file early, and I'm going to talk about claiming strategies later in the show, but just be aware of the numbers that you're reading and kind of check if they make sense. Meaning if you're 55 today and you think, gosh darn it, I want to retire now, and you go on Social Security and you see that your benefit at age 62 is going to be, you know, $2,500 a month. Well, that projection of $2,500 a month at age 62 when you're 55 assumes that you're continuing to work at the level that you are currently. So if instead you retire at 55, that age 62 benefit is going to be adjusted every single year if you have no earnings from age 56 to 62. Okay, because Social Security is based on your highest 35 years of working, and you may not have 35 years of working in that scenario if you're going to stop working early. All right, I recently attended a CCH, Commerce Clearinghouse, seminar, coincidentally, for continuing education that I need to get in, and it was a Social Security and Medicare Planning Quarterly Update. And they summarized some of the, attributes of how you earn Social Security. So they talked about acquiring credits through working, and you can acquire credits through working either for an employer or for yourself as a self-employed person. We used to call this earning quarters. They used to say quarters, but now they do call it credits. So you acquire credits through working. And why we say you earn it either, you know, through working for an employer or for yourself as a self-employed person is because when you work, you're paying into the system. And you earn these credits. And the more credits you earn, the bigger your ultimate benefit will be. Now, you think, gosh, well, what if I worked a ton for part of the year and I could earn all these benefits? No, there are some parameters around how you earn the Social Security benefit. It's no more than 4 credits a year. And that is the equivalent of $6,040 of earnings or $1,510 a quarter, recalculated yearly. And you must have 40 credits to be fully insured under Social Security and Medicare as well. So you have to have 10 years of earnings, again, to qualify and be fully insured under Social Security and Medicare as well. So qualifying for Social Security, you need to work, you need to pay into the system, and that is for at least 10 years. Now, you heard me say at the beginning of the show, though, I said, how do we qualify for Social Security? I said working, and I also mentioned or by being a spouse or even a divorcee. So you may not have been the one to work, but if you were married, you may be able to claim a benefit on someone who did work. So basically, the Social Security benefit is based on earnings, and then we're going to talk about the various ways to qualify and how to claim some of those options. So the earned income, I said you only can earn 4 credits a year. It is based on earned income. And for 2022, the Social Security that we're paying into the system gets capped on how much money we're making. So if someone makes less $147,000 or less, they're paying 6.2% of their income into the Social Security system. That's paying in $9,714 into the old age Social Security disability system. And if you make less than that, you're paying less than that. If you make more than $147,000, it caps at the 6.2% on that $147,000. That gets adjusted for inflation. So for those people, each year, sometimes you might be chasing it. But sometimes people have earned that money by, you know, September, October, and then their little paycheck goes up and they don't know why. Well, it's because they've capped the Social Security requirement, withholding requirement at 6.2%. We'll talk more about that as we come back from our next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We're talking about Social Security and Social Security claiming options this evening. First, we're starting with qualifying for Social Security. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Siri, and he'll write it down and bring it in to me. Questions can also be submitted through yourfinancialchoices.com. So paying into the system, we talked about earning credits, and you can do it through an employer or through self-employment. And when we are employed, the employer pays half and we pay half. So the part we pay is 6.2%. The employer pays 6.2%. That's for Social Security. Just FYI, if you look at your pay stub, there's Medicare and OASDI together. It's 7.65 we pay. That's because 1.45% is going into the system to pay for our hospital insurance through Medicare Part A, and the 6.2 is going into the system to help cover our Social Security when we retire and are eligible to collect. When we're employed, we're paying 6.2, the employer's paying 6.2 for Social Security. When we are self-employed, we have to pay both sides of that. So when a self-employed person files their tax return, if they have a Schedule C, it's a sole proprietor business, or if you have a partnership and you're reporting your partnership income, you will have self-employment tax that you're paying on your tax return. You will see that it's calculated. There's a schedule. There's a bit of a deduction, but it would be 15.65 or 15.3, excuse me, total, but then there's different credits that we get and a deduction for half the self-employment we're paying. But regardless, we are paying still into the system the 12.4 total between the employer and the employee. So that's how we earn credits. I mentioned you have to earn at least 10 years of credits, 40 credits, to be fully insured under the system. And if we work longer, then we obviously earn a larger benefit. You heard me mention giving an example of how that benefit gets calculated. It is the top 35 years of earnings. So if you only work 20 years, then that benefit is going to be based on 20 years, not 35. All right. So it would be discounted a bit. You're not going to get as large of a benefit if you're not working as long and not paying into the system. So I mentioned qualifying for Social Security. You work, you have an earned benefit. But I also had said a spouse could also qualify for Social Security. A spouse, and it could be a divorced spouse, must be at least age 62. Other than some exceptions for survivor or family benefits, which again I'll cover shortly, a spousal benefit is based on the working spouse and could be up to one half of the working spouse's benefit at their full retirement age. So let me explain. Full retirement age is determined, you know, by the system. And it used to be age 66. And then several years ago, they raised the full retirement age. And I'll, you know, give you a little bit more details on that. I think it was like after people born 1954. I have that somewhere in my notes here. But the full retirement age is, let's say, for example, today someone collecting 66. If their spouse wants to collect, they must be at least age 62, and they would only get a spousal benefit based on the working spouse. As I said, it could be up to half of the working spouse's benefit at their full retirement age, but if they file early, there is a discount to that. So it is not the full benefit if they file early. And I'm going to talk about that later in the claiming strategies. I also mentioned someone could be divorced. If you're divorced, you may still be able to file a claim on your working spouse, divorced spouse's record. You had to have been married at least 10 years, divorced at least 2 years, and not remarried before age 60, and be unmarried when filing for benefits. You must be at least age 62, regardless if the ex-spouse has collected or not. So that's a little different than if you're currently married. Currently, if you want to file for a spousal benefit, your working spouse would have had to have filed. But in the case of divorces, they didn't want to penalize a divorced spouse if the working spouse, you know, has a grudge against you and decides not to file for Social Security. So you must be at least age 62, regardless if the ex-spouse has collected or not. There's also survivor benefits. So this is another way to qualify for Social Security. Survivor benefit is 100% of the worker's benefit if they were already full retirement age and if they were married at least 9 months. So you can't have deathbed marriages and then qualify for that person's survivor benefit. Spouse or divorced spouse may begin to collect benefits on the deceased spouse's benefit at age 60. So that's a little earlier than that age 62 that we talked about for the spousal benefit. For the survivor benefit, it can begin. You may begin at age 60. You don't have to. You may begin at age 60 and age 50 if you're disabled. Now, the benefit would be reduced, though. Remember, whenever you're going to file early or collect early or earlier than full retirement age, there's always going to be a bit of a reduction and discount. Let me give you kind of the logic behind that so you can kind of picture it. If the present value of a stream of money for you over your lifetime based on your earnings, if that's the present value is a bucket of money, and Social Security is going to pay it out to you over your life expectancy. If your life expectancy is 25 years, they're going to pay you X amount per month. If I collect early and now they're going to pay it out over 28 years, then they're going to pay me a little bit of a smaller amount each month because I'll be collecting a longer period of time. If I wait to collect and I wait, you know, a few years longer, now I'm collecting for a shorter period of time. So they're going to pay me a higher benefit per month. So basically, just think about it as having a bucket of money. And are they going to pay it out over a longer period of time, the normal period of time, which we'll call full retirement age, or a shorter period of time, meaning you've delayed filing? All right, so that's what kind of changes the amounts. Now, there are some incentives for people after full retirement age to defer until age 70. You get a bit of a premium on that. And that's one of the factors that comes into the claiming strategies that we'll talk about in a little bit. So back to the survivor benefits. So 100% of the worker's benefit if already full retirement age, if you were married at least 9 months, and you can collect as early as age 60, 50 if you're disabled, but you would have a reduced benefit then. Divorced people can still file for a survivor benefit. And remarriage prior to age 60 does not disqualify a survivor's benefit. So earlier you heard me say, you know, remarriage before age 60 might impact, you know, a lifetime benefit. But remarriage prior to age 60 does not disqualify a survivor's benefit if, and there's always ifs here, If the subsequent marriage ended in death or divorce prior to applying for benefits, in that case, the survivor can apply for the higher benefit on either spouse. So if that divorced spouse had two spouses, they can file for the higher of the two. The survivor can apply. Again, that is if remarriage prior to age 60 does not disqualify a survivor's benefit, if the subsequent marriage ended in death or divorce prior to applying for benefits. Okay, folks, we're at our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Being a member of WDIY has its benefits. Every Sunday, WDIY members get access to our weekly member ticket giveaway, giving you a chance to win passes to events all across the Lehigh Valley and beyond. This Sunday, we're giving away day passes for the Philadelphia Folk Festival, tickets to Lehigh Valley Pride, and more. Don't miss out. Become a member of WDIY today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. And we are talking about Social Security options this evening. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can give your question to Siri. And if you would like to talk on air, we can do it live. But if you're not comfortable talking live on air, he'll bring the question in to the studio. So talking about Social Security, also if a surviving spouse, whether you know you were married or divorced, if a surviving spouse goes to file for a survivor benefit at age 60, there is that reduction I had mentioned. And it amounts to, at age 60, probably about a 30% reduction of the full retirement amount. So if you had a Social Security report that said the deceased spouse was supposed to earn $3,000 a month at full retirement age, then there would be a 30% discount on that of about $900, and you would end up with a $2,100 benefit. Now, remember what I said about that timeline. If you file, though, at 60, you're collecting for a much longer period of time, hence the discount. Now, when you're trying to make decisions on this, we're going to talk about what you have to consider when you're making some of these claims for benefits. The break even in that scenario is about age 74. Now, other survivor benefits may be available to unmarried children or dependent parents as well. We don't often see dependent parents, but we often could see unmarried children. And there's some parameters around that as well. I do want to mention, because I had referred to sometimes if you wait beyond full retirement age, you can earn a premium of about 8% a year, and that is calculated monthly, by the way. But if sometimes people will think, well, my working spouse, if they delayed at full retirement age to age 70, they would have earned that 8% premium. I, as a survivor, what if I wait to collect it? And no, you don't get that 8% increase. So survivors do not get the 8% increase on the deceased spouse's benefit by delaying the survivor benefit. There is also a death benefit for Social Security. This has, you know, barely changed over the course of my career. It's $255. That's another death benefit. That's just a, like a little lump sum payment they give you. And it's very, you know, it's not material. It's almost not worth administering as far as I'm concerned. They should, you know, adjust that up a little bit if it was had some meaning 30 years ago. The other reminder is people are not entitled to any benefit in the month of death. So the deceased spouse, if they die May 15th, then they wouldn't be entitled to their benefit for May. And what happens then, typically Social Security is set up to deposit automatically direct deposit into a bank account. And if Social Security makes that deposit and then finds out that the decedent did not survive the month, they reclaim it. It's called reclaiming. So you don't want to run in and close out a bank account too quickly, because you may not be entitled to all those funds. And then you don't want to worry about, you know, someone trying to chase you down to get that reclamation back. Let Social Security reclaim it in that scenario. It's not often that someone would try to go close an account quickly, but sometimes it does happen. So just kind of keep that in mind. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number again is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me or give your question to Siri and he'll write it down and bring it in. Now, when we talk about survivor benefits as part of, you know, qualifying for Social Security, so we have worker benefits, we have spousal benefits, we have divorcees, we have survivor benefits. I mentioned children. Wow, it sounds like a lot of people could make a lot of money on this, but there is a family maximum. So the family maximum does affect benefits for the children and for parents, and it's between 150 to 188% of the monthly benefit at full retirement age. So they have this family maximum, and they're going to kind of allocate it between the spouse and any other qualifying family members. And if a spouse forgoes the benefit because they're still working, then, for example, the children might get more of a benefit. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Someone might think, oh, my spouse passed away. I'm going to take my spousal benefit, and I have two young children, and they'll get, you know, a survivor benefit as well. Well, it gets allocated up to this family maximum when, in lieu of doing that, if instead you were working and really have no other reason to stop working, you know, thinking, oh, I just want the money. But if you kept working, then that might increase your children's benefit, and chances are they're not going to pay any income tax on it. If you're working a little bit, Social Security gets taxed based on how much other earnings you have, how much other income is on your tax return. And when the kids are young and they're getting a survivor benefit from a parent, then chances are they don't have any other income and their Social Security would not be taxed. Again, Social Security gets taxed based on how much other income you have on your return. So what if the worker filing has not died and has dependent children? Do dependent children have any other opportunity to get a benefit? And this is what some people might not realize. And it's true. Yes. From socialsecurity.gov, their website, ssa.gov, who can get children's benefits? To get a benefit as a child, the child must have a parent who is retired or has a disability and is entitled to Social Security benefits. A parent who died after having worked long enough in a job where they paid Social Security tax, is another way to earn benefits. So that's the survivor benefit. But if you have retired, and I have seen this where you have maybe a second marriage, and maybe the husband is much older than the wife, and he retires after working, you know, all these years and has a nice Social Security benefit, and they have little ones at home, the children could be entitled to a benefit because the parent has now retired. And it depends on ages and things like that, and it has to be an unmarried child to get the benefits. They're typically under age 18, younger than age 18, but it's okay if it's between ages 18 and 19 and they're a full-time student at an elementary or secondary school, so grade 12 or below. If they're 19, then they would still qualify. When they graduate from high school, then it would stop. or age 18 or older with a disability that began before age 22. Under certain circumstances, Social Security can also pay benefits to a stepchild, grandchild, step-grandchild, or adopted child. So a little bit more extreme circumstances, I expect, but all worth pursuing if you think you might have these circumstances apply to you. Folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1 FM. You can stream live with us at wdiy.org and also catch us on the WDIY app. We are talking about Social Security options this evening, how we qualify, the various ways to qualify as a worker, as a spouse, a divorcee, possibly a child, as a survivor, any number of ways to qualify. The main point being that someone earned credits toward a benefit and a full benefit to qualify. You have to have at least 10 years worth of credits. And because Social Security looks at the highest earning 35 years, for those people who work more than 10 years, you'll be insured. But over 10 up to 35, you're going to be maximizing or increasing your benefit, I should say. So when we talked about a child also qualifying if their parent has retired and was entitled to Social Security benefits, they may also qualify. I don't know if Social Security asks that question. So if you are someone listening and you're applying for Social Security and you are receiving a benefit and you have children still at home, your children may be entitled to a benefit. Now, I know that I've had cases where this has happened and Social Security follows up with the parents to ascertain what they have used the Social Security benefit for. So that is interesting. I think they, you know, supply whatever, you know, information Social Security is looking for in that case. Is the money being set aside in a bank account for them? Is it being used for food and shelter? Whatever it might be, education. So just keep that in mind. When you apply for benefits for your child, you'll need the child's birth certificate or other proof of birth or adoption. You also need the parents' and child's Social Security numbers. Depending on the type of benefit involved, other documents may be required. For example, if you're applying for survivor benefits for the child, you'll need to provide proof of the parent's death. If you're applying for benefits for a child with a disability, you'll need to provide medical evidence to prove the child's disability. The Social Security representative helping with your application will tell you what other documents you may need. Benefits may continue at age 18, but benefits stop when your child reaches age 18 unless the child is a student or has a disability. If your child is a student, 3 months before your child's 18th birthday, Social Security is going to send you a notice to let you know that benefits will end when your child turns 18. Benefits don't end if your child is a full-time student, as I mentioned, at an elementary or secondary school. If your child's younger than 19 and still attending elementary or secondary school, it is important to follow the instructions in the notice so the benefits can continue. they must complete a statement of attendance certified by a school official, and the benefits will usually continue until your child graduates or until 2 months after they reach age 19, whichever comes first. I think this is really important, and I don't know if any, you know, if everyone who might qualify for that benefit is actually applying. So please keep that in mind. If you are someone who has filed for your Social Security benefit and you happen to have students still in elementary or high school and under age 19, it might be worth checking out. Disability is another way to qualify for Social Security. To qualify for Social Security disability, you must have worked in jobs covered by Social Security. As I mentioned, you have to have that 10 years worth of credits for regular Social Security, and you have to have a medical condition that meets Social Security's strict definition of disability. They pay a monthly benefit to people who are unable to work for a year or more because of a disability. Benefits usually continue until you can work again on a regular basis, and there are also several special rules called work incentives that provide continued benefits and health care coverage to help you make the transition back to work. If you're receiving Social Security disability benefits when you reach full retirement age, your disability benefits automatically convert to retirement benefits, but the amount remains the same. That's because when you are eligible for, and that was all from the Social Security Administration's website, when you qualify for Social Security disability, they do pay you your, I believe, your full benefit or close to full benefit. And that is the difference between, you know, filing early for Social Security because, you know, at age 62, if you're filing for disability, you get more of a benefit. They don't discount that. But then when you do reach full retirement age, it's just considered your regular retirement benefit. Now, there is something you heard me mention about qualifying for various benefits under Social Security. One is needs-based, but it's not really Social Security. Social Security just administers the program. I've heard people mix this up. They say, oh, I'm getting SSI. Well, SSI is Supplemental Security Income. That is different than SSDI, which is the Social Security Disability Insurance. SSI is a needs-based. So they pay monthly benefits to people with limited income and resources who are disabled, blind, or age 65 or older. Blind or disabled children may also get SSI, but it is different than Social Security benefits, and it's a different application. So just keep that in mind if someone has some kind of a disability or needs-based need, then that's a different application. I'm going to move on to talking about claiming options so that I don't run out of time. And again, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. There's usually a lot of questions around Social Security, but maybe it's more around these claiming options. So let's jump into that. Now, when it is time to claim or you think it's time to claim, I suggest that you do your homework first. Don't just go file and say, yes, this is what I want, and don't ask questions. You really want to understand what the options are for you and what implications will apply if you do file when you file. So you can apply online or you can apply in person. I would say if you have questions and haven't done your research, it might be worth your time to go into the office to make an appointment and talk to someone in person. I know that many of the Social Security representatives are very well versed in all of the options that could be available to you and explaining them, but it's always good, even after they give you the information, I would say, to kind of study it a little bit just to make sure you do understand it. So your claiming options, you could file an early claim. You could file at full retirement age. You could delay filing to age 70. So and anywhere in between. So if early is 62 and full retirement age could be 66 or 67 or somewhere in between, or the delayed age 70, it's going to affect the benefit that you're going to get. Now, what kind of benefits are we talking about from Social Security? The 2022 maximum benefit is $3,345. That's at full retirement age. So remember, I said that some people delay after full retirement age collecting until 70, then they could be eligible for a much larger benefit. But the maximum benefit for those filing at full retirement age is $3,345 a month. The average is $1,675. So the maximum benefit is $3,345, but the average benefit that people are receiving is $1,675. Why is that? Well, the average benefit might be because they didn't have 35 years of earnings. They might not have had those maximum earnings that I mentioned at the beginning of the show of $147,000. And again, that gets adjusted for inflation. But I would say the maximum benefit is based on 35 years of the maximum earnings. So people who are not maxing out those earnings or not maxing out 35 years aren't necessarily collecting that maximum benefit. And if they file early, it gets a reduction. So the average is much less than what it could be. So the benefits, again, is determined by your earnings record and when you file. Now, full retirement age, I said, could be between 66 and 67. What am I talking about? It depends on when you were born. 1946 to 1954 is age 66. If you were born in 1960, the age is 67. 1960 or later, the age is 67. So between 1955 and 1959, it increases by 2 months per year. So if you were born in 1955, your full retirement age is 66 and 2 months, and increases 2 months per year. So 1957 would be 66 and 4 months, et cetera, et cetera. So for people born between 55 and 59, it's 66 and some odd, you know, even number of months. And if you were born 1960 or later, your full retirement age is 67. If you collect prior to full retirement age or after full retirement age, this is going to impact your benefit. And those discounts apply depending on how early you apply prior to full retirement age. So if someone was, I believe it's if when full retirement age is 66, if you had applied at 62, I think it was like a 25% discount. For those who are age 67, full retirement age, if you apply at age 62, then it's a 35% discount. That's full years. Now you can apply anywhere in between. So each month you delay beyond age 62, you don't have as big of a discount. Okay? So you can increase your benefit by waiting to file for your Social Security. Now you can also increase your benefit even after applying if you continue to work and have earnings. So there are income caps when you file early for Social Security, but if you file later after full retirement age, then there are no caps and you can have continued earnings. So again, your Social Security benefit, if it's based on the top 35 working earnings, the top 35 years of earnings, if you continue to work even after filing for Social Security, then you could increase your benefit. All right, now this is where it starts to get a tiny bit complicated trying to understand this, but let me see if I can try this. If you're still working when filing and you're pre-full retirement age, we call that FRA, they will reduce your benefits by a dollar for every $2 over a threshold. That threshold is $19,560 in 2022. So if someone makes, you know, $20,000, then you're $440 over. $440 divided by 2 is 220. So you're going to have to return a dollar for every $2 you're over that threshold. Now, if your threshold is double that income, you've made double that income, maybe you filed for Social Security at 62 because you lost your job and you had no other money, so you filed, and then you got rehired and you're making $100,000 a year. Well, you would have to pay back all of your Social Security then. So in essence, it's almost as if you kind of, you know, suspended it almost. So then you'd have to pay it back. And then that will go into the recalculation of what your benefit will be in the future. Now, in the year of full retirement age, there is a $1 for every $3 over a threshold, and it's a higher threshold. It's $51,960. But once you reach full retirement age, there's no limit on the wages, and you can earn as much as you want. So some people at full retirement age may still have a completely full-time job, and they'll say, hey, well, I'm entitled to this benefit. I'm going to go get it. But they might also say, hey, I've heard if I delay filing, I'll increase my benefit 8% a year, again, calculated monthly. Maybe I'll just wait to file, and that will increase their benefit. Okay, folks, lots of information here. Social Security is a very interesting topic with lots of claiming options. You need to make sure you understand them. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are talking about Social Security this evening, what it is, and claiming options. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. So let's kind of tie some of this together. But I do have a caller. Yay. We have Alan from Allentown. Alan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you for calling in. What's your question?
It's a retirement strategy question, a claiming strategy question.
Okie doke.
So here's the scenario. I have earned my 35 years of credits, maximum credits so far.
Okay.
Did not max the annual contribution limit, but sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't.
Okay.
Got that. Then my wife has not worked enough to earn her own credits.
Okay.
So she could get the spouse benefit.
Okay.
And I have a disabled adult, my daughter, who's adult, who lives with us, who is an SSI recipient, but nothing else.
Okay.
So what is the best, what would be a good claiming strategy here? And I'm continuing to work, and we'll do so, likely, at least 65, maybe later.
So you're not claiming Social Security yet because you're still working?
Correct.
Okay. So if you're not working, the rules today now are that when someone goes to file, if your wife went to file, if she's 62 and she went to file, because you have not filed yet, she cannot claim your benefit. They would look at her work record and look for 10 years. And if she does not have enough credits into the system, then she would not be able to file. She would not be entitled to a benefit because you have not filed for a benefit yet.
Right.
Once you reach a full retirement age, if you decide to file then and continue to work, because if you're working and you file before full retirement age, you have to pay back benefits, and sometimes you don't end up with a benefit, right? So if at full retirement age you decide to continue working, you could file for your benefit, and then she could file for the spousal benefit at that time.
Okay. What about the
disabled, I would say that you're going to probably have to call Social Security to ask them, because I'm not as familiar with Social Security disability for a dependent child. But I would say once you're filing for your benefit, would your child be eligible to file if they were disabled on your record? They may be able to, but there's that family maximum I mentioned. And my suspicion is that the family maximum would possibly preclude your disabled child from collecting a benefit more than they might from SSI, if that makes sense.
What was the family maximum?
The family maximum is 150 to 180% of the full retirement, and I'm doing that from memory, by the way, of the full retirement age amount. So I think if you and your spouse both claim, you might be at that amount already. Okay.
Okay.
So check with Social Security on that, and I would be curious to know. I unfortunately just haven't had that situation. I did discuss this once with a client and had suggested that they try to go file for their child, but there was a reason why they weren't going to, and they stayed on SSI. Okay. So there might be other reasons or benefits to staying on SSI, but they may not have been eligible for as much in that scenario, I'm thinking.
Okay, one side question.
Uh-huh.
With not having, with the my spouse not having the earned the credits for Social Security, also didn't earn the credits for Medicare.
Right.
What's the story on Medicare?
Well, your spouse should be able to file for Medicare also on your work record. So once you file for Social Security and you're age 65 and your spouse turns age 65, then you both should be able to qualify for Medicare based on your work record.
Okay.
Okay. So just keep all of that in mind. And there's some, you know, balls in the air, I would say, for you if you're continuing to work and you want to continue to work beyond full retirement age. Because one of the other things you want to keep in mind is, I don't know if your spouse is, younger than you or what the health is. So I always tell people, when you're looking at your claiming strategies, you not only want to look at when you're eligible for it, because some people just say, I'm eligible for it, I'm going to file for it. You want to look at what is your life expectancy, your longevity, your health, your cash flow situation, because you might need it for cash flow. Some people need it, and that's why they file. Some people say, hey, everyone in my family kicks the bucket at 60. I'm lucky I'm alive at 62, and they file for it. So you kind of want to look at your own situation. If you have life expectancy and you're really, really healthy and you think you could live to 90, you might end up working a little extra and delaying your benefit and getting that 8% premium, but you only get that 8% premium after full retirement age. You know, naturally our benefit goes up if we have higher, you know, that 35 years gets higher because we make more money usually later in our career. So it naturally kind of goes up, the monthly benefit. But if at full retirement age we delay further, it does get that 8% premium. So I think you're really smart to think this through, put it down on paper, maybe even an Excel spreadsheet, and look at the break-evens and talk to Social Security about the difference between SSDI for your child and the SSI. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I hope that helps. Okay, have a good night. Thank you for calling, Alan.
Take care.
Thanks. That is a reminder to people that if it is helpful because you have more than one option available to you, to go in to the office and talk to someone. Now, I know when we were in the pandemic, Social Security didn't have their offices open and you would have to call and make an appointment. And sometimes that appointment might have been, you know, several weeks in advance. But then they would have someone on the phone with you to talk you through your options. But I do believe the offices are opened again and you can make an appointment and go into the office to talk with someone about this. Now, you heard me mention about a break even. There are some kind of rules of thumb on the break even. So what kind of break even would we have for someone collecting at age 62? In the seminar I was in, they said it was age 77. That's about 15 years. Now, typically, I thought the break even was more around 12 years. So there are Social Security calculators out there. I know I use one at the office, and it's really nice. It kind of lays out all the options and the different claiming strategies that might be available. Because, for example, you might have in a situation, now Alan's situation, his spouse was, you know, stayed at home, didn't have their own credits. But you might be in a position where a spouse did have a working record and could file for their benefit. And maybe the higher working spouse has not filed yet. So if I am in my story, I'm going to say I'm the wife and my benefit might not be as high as my husband. It's not true, but I'm just saying this is a story. So if I have had some work record and my benefit was $1,000 a month and my spouse has a benefit of $3,000. Now, when they go to file, my spousal benefit would be about $1,500, right? But in my work record, my benefit is $1,000. So what are we going to do? Well, if my working, higher working spouse did not file yet, and I go to file, the only benefit I'm entitled to in that scenario is my own, because my working spouse hasn't filed yet. So I can't claim a spousal benefit from my working spouse if they haven't filed yet. I would only be entitled to my own benefit. Now, once they file, now Social Security is going to look, and I don't know if they do. I think you have to go in and tell them. They're going to say, which is the higher benefit I as a spouse am entitled to? My own record was $1,000. My spousal benefit's $1,500. In essence, what they do is they give you, you know, a benefit equivalent to that. But it could be adjusted if I filed early. So if I filed at 62 and got maybe an $800 benefit, when I go to file for my spousal benefit, when they file at full retirement age, I'm not going to get half of their full retirement age benefit because I already filed early and I already started getting money. So they're going to adjust it. This is why it's hard to explain this on the radio, but you need to understand your options before you lock into, you know, some kind of claiming strategy that you thought you understood. Now, if I have a higher earning spouse working, and then they decide to delay to age 70, and I am the spouse with no work record of my own. Remember, I told you I can't file for my spousal benefit until my spouse files. Those are the new rules, by the way. I'm only talking about the new rules tonight. So I can only file when my higher working earning spouse files. But if they wait till age 70, guess what? I don't get half the age 70 amount. I'm only going to get half the full retirement age amount. So keep that in mind. Sometimes people will say to me, how come I'm not getting, they're getting $4,000 a month. I'm not getting $2,000. Why not? Because you're only going to get half of the full retirement age benefit. All right. Break even by waiting until age 70 instead of age 66. It says the break even is about age 81. Again, these were numbers that were on this webinar. I'd have to run the numbers for sure to know. And then sometimes it also makes a difference in your claiming strategy as to, as I mentioned to Alan, your life expectancy, your earnings, your benefit to spouses, what kind of spousal benefit might you have had? And also, are you going to need the money? What's your cash flow situation? If you don't need the money and you're collecting, what are you doing with that money? Are you investing it? And that could also impact that break-even number when you could be investing that money and making more on it. About a third of the people collecting do pay income tax on their benefit. So about a third collecting pay income tax on their benefit, which means two-thirds of the people are not. It all depends on how much other income you have on your return And the calculation to determine how much of your Social Security is going to be included in your taxable income, it also includes your tax-exempt income. So you add up certain income, half your Social Security, plus your tax-exempt income, and if it's over certain thresholds, then some of your Social Security could end up getting taxed up to, it could be up to 85% included in taxable income. All depends on your income. That's another reason why we want to watch out for claiming strategies. Maybe you do want to wait till a year you're not working rather than collecting while you're working, because 85% of it might end up getting income taxed. And if I wait to collect, I'm earning deferral interest or benefit, and I'm not paying tax on it before I, you know, really need it, possibly. All right. So lots of information about Social Security. It can be complicated. The big takeaway tonight is understand your claiming options, understand what your benefit is, how does it fit in with your cash flow, your taxes, your longevity, your survivor benefit. Are you trying to provide a higher survivor benefit? And that goes into that delaying option as well. Next week, we are going to talk about retirement benefit options, and that could include some of this Social Security conversation as well. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I want to thank Siri for being here tonight and Seamus for being here, and thank you, Alan, for calling in. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.